Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode number 300 of the Blister Podcast. I'm Jonathan Ellsworth, and you can check out everything we're doing and reviewing over on our YouTube channel and over at blisterreview.com. Free riding and free skiing. We love these pursuits in part because of the freedom and the freedom of creative expression they allow us. And yet, sometimes the unwritten rules around skiing, snowboarding, and mountain culture can seem remarkably restrictive and pressure us to fall in line rather than stand out, rewarding conformity far more than individual expression. So today, we are talking about an often overlooked, and sometimes not just overlooked, but looked down upon, element in free riding and free skiing, namely, fashion. And joining us today are professional skiers Hadley Hammer and Kellen Wilson, the founders of TOGS, which is a new project dedicated to widening ski culture and making it more acceptable for each of us to be fully ourselves. Hadley and Kellen do a beautiful job of making the case for this, and so even if you are completely in love with that old flannel of yours and have no intention of branching out, well, that is totally fine. I'm certainly not getting rid of my old flannels either. And that is definitely not the point here, to force anybody or pressure anybody into changing up what they're wearing out there. But it is to perhaps provide a bit more permission to do that. And even if you have no intention of switching up anything, I think that listening up to what Hadley and Kellen have to say here will get you thinking more broadly about the question of individuality and conformity in free skiing and riding. This episode of the Blister Podcast is presented by Backcountry Essentials, our blister recommended shop in Bellingham, Washington. Backcountry Essentials is one of the premier ski boot fitting shops in the PNW, and they are also staffed with highly skilled ski technicians, so give your gear some love before the season closes out. And as we move into spring, Backcountry Essentials is offering some amazing deals on 23-24 gear, as much as 40% off. So if you've been hesitant to invest in the right gear, now is your chance. You can also shop their inventory online, and they ship anywhere in the United States. And if you aren't seeing a sale price online, be sure to give the shop a call to get their current price. So visit Backcountry Essentials in downtown Bellingham and tell them we sent you, or visit them online at backcountryessentials.net. And now, let's talk about zebras and fashion and skiing with Hadley Hammer and Kellen Wilson. Here we go. Well, I am very happy to be joined here by Hadley Hammer and Kellen Wilson. This one took a little doing. I'm not at home. Hadley sure as hell is not at home. Actually, none of us are at home at the moment, or in our current places of residence, I guess I would say. Kellen, let me start with you. Where are you calling in from?
I am calling in from my childhood home in Monument, Colorado. Not Monument, Utah. No cat skiing in this monument, as we found out.
We had that confusing conversation a little bit ago.
Oh man, I feel bad for the person who mixes those up and comes here. It's not a bad place, but you know, my family's here and I love them, and that's why I'm here. And I'm flying out of DIA on Monday to go over to Europe, go to Switzerland and France. So yeah, that's why I'm here. But I'm normally in Telluride, Colorado.
Yes. Okay. We finally got to the Telluride part, which I just started thinking, like, I'm going to be at DIA on Monday.
Oh.
I land at 1 p.m. When are you there?
You know, I haven't checked since I bought the flight. I need to check, but let's grab a caribou coffee if we're there at the same time.
Right. Yeah. Wow. You really nailed that branding. Yeah. She's you've been to the Denver airport before.
Sure have.
You know, one of the last times I was at the Denver airport, I got on one of the, you know, tube train things to, I think, had, I don't know, I was going to catch a flight, and I just hear Jonathan, like a loud yelling, Jonathan. And I turn around and it was Rachel Burks. And I'm like, wait, you're not supposed to be here either. And so we had a really fun time catching up. And so this might be another skiers connecting in DIA.
I don't think I've ever been to DIA without seeing someone I know. So I'd love to keep that streak going.
Okay. Well, I want to actually say, so you were saying you were in your childhood home. Mm-hmm. I also am in my childhood home. I'm out in Chicago. My parents are kind of collectively retiring. And so out here for a short trip to sort of honor and celebrate that. And so we've got two childhood homes that we're calling in from. Hadley, very much not where you grew up at the moment. Is that correct?
No, I'm in the Vancouver airport.
So more airport.
Home sweet home.
Home sweet home. And you have in front of you first of all, you're going to spend the night at the airport?
Yeah, the Vancouver airport has a hotel right in it, and it is amazing.
Wow.
Walk out the hotel, take the elevator down, and check your bags in.
Wow.
And you're done. It's so nice.
Okay.
I'm going to file that away. That's good.
And I have four duffel bags with me, so I'm like, don't want to do a van shuttle. I was like, I'm going straight to the airport.
Yeah, because you just got off a ski trip.
Ski and snowboard trip. We were
ski and
equally
snowboard trip.
Split. Yeah, in the sort of Bella Coola, Waddington range.
Great. And then you will spend the night at the fancy Vancouver airport, and then you have a 23-hour trek back to France?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe you lose. You kind of win, but maybe you lose.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad we got that out of the way. Listeners are like, what are we talking about here? thanks to all of us for pulling this together. We can also tell people we're recording this on a Saturday evening, which is a prime time to be recording podcasts, you know, so.
We're not nerdy at all.
Right. I'm going out after this, guys. Trust me.
Okay.
Monument, Colorado.
tear up Monument. Listen, we have two missions to talk about today. I want to take just a couple minutes to talk about the first of these missions, because this is something that Hadley and I have been talking about quite a bit, but turns out Kellen is no stranger to this topic, which I learned as we connected on this call before Hadley arrived. But Hadley, we have been working together now. As you know, to me, it seems like about 2 years. I think it's not quite that long, but we have been working on this, the Blister Plus initiative. And do you want to tell a little bit of the origin story of how we kind of, like, you were submitting an open mic piece, and then I was like, okay, wait a second, this is too spot on, we need to connect. Do you want to kind of take the story a little bit from there?
Yeah. What I love about the open mic pieces is it's like, you let us just say whatever we want. And for me, I think I was starting writing it in the fall, and it's always in the fall where everyone's prepping. You're like doing your squats and kind of getting ready for ski season, making all those plans and dreaming. And I think because of situations in my life, that pre-preparation also includes a lot of stuff that I think people don't think about, like life insurance, health insurance, you know, just getting your ducks in a row, because skiing does have, it holds risk. And I think the better you can prepare, I think we can't control risk as much as we can control consequence. And that was sort of the piece. And the part of that we talked about was injury insurance and health insurance. And for me, like, I've had seasons where my entire income went to knee surgeries. And I've been in the ski industry long enough where I'm like, why? Why is that the standard, and how can we change it? And I feel like we bonded quite quickly over that.
Yep. Yeah. And the way we're putting it now is we are on a mission to change the culture of outdoor sports. And, you know, if that sounds grandiose to anybody, good. You know, it's a, that then appropriately captures, I think, the size of the problem. And whether it's skiing, snowboarding, mountain biking, climbing, kayaking, rafting, all this stuff that we're doing out in the mountain. You know, I've had some people, frankly, say, not many, but that vocal minority that, you know, kind of sticks in your craw a little bit. Some people are like, you guys are way overblowing, you know, the need here, the importance of this. It's not that big a deal. And I'm like, well, we just had one of our very close friends and reviewers die in the backcountry. So speak for yourself, or if you're fortunate enough that you don't know people or don't live in communities where you see how pervasive the need is here and how much we need a systemic change, then lucky you.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it on that community aspect. I think we all, between Telluride and Crested Butte and Jackson and Chamonix, we live in mountain communities. And even if you're not losing people really close to you, like, I do believe whether it's deaths or injuries, those all start to affect the community as a whole. And so I think, you know, I have a small beef with like GoFundMe for injuries, because that GoFundMe could still be appropriate, but those funds could go towards all the other stuff that happens afterwards. Whereas if we just get the, you know, surgery or whatever it is, the exit plan, all that covered, then you can still rally the community in different ways of support.
That's right. Very well said. And that is our point. And when we, you know, I've said that before as well. Like, I want to really diminish sort of GoFundMe culture. And Hadley, you put it exactly right. It's not that I'm opposed to those at all, but we have a relatively inexpensive program now that will cover up to $25,000 of medical expenses for a knee surgery, for a heli evacuation. And then we can use GoFundMe funds, you know, for other purposes, you know, and because it turns out, you know, whether it's a fatal injury or the more common, you know, but still costly non-fatal injuries, expenses pile up wildly in all kinds of different ways. And so that's why we think this matters. And those of us, again, I'll say it again, people who are like, this is overblown, it's not that big of a deal, I will just repeat, lucky you. Okay, enough of that. But Hadley, it has really been a joy to work with you on this. We are going to be ramping things up, and we will soon be publishing this very good piece of yours on risk and consequence. And part of the reason that hasn't been published yet is because we were like, this fits. I mean, you just turned it in. I didn't know what you were going to write about.
Surprise.
Right? And then I'm like, okay, we're going to recruit you into this whole mission of ours. But that piece will be going up in the coming weeks, and look forward to people reading that and to keep working and pushing this whole objective forward with you.
I'm excited.
All right, enough of that. Let's talk about mission number two. I really like this mission too, it turns out. So actually, I want to throw it to Kellen. Talk a little bit about what is this thing called TOGS that you and Hadley have started.
Well, TOGS, Hadley originally came to me with the idea for TOGS before it was named TOGS, to write a Substack newsletter. And if you don't know Substack, it's a newsletter subscription that connects people right with their audience to whoever you're subscribed to. You can see it on the app or it can go right into your email. But so many phenomenal writers, politicians, interesting people of all walks of life are writing on Substack. And yeah, she came to me with this idea about writing one that kind of bridges function and fashion and centered around mountain communities or people visiting them or people inspired by mountain fashion or mountain communities. So yeah, that's kind of how it came about.
Hadley, give your spin on this question of what is TOGS?
I mean, Kellen kind of nailed it. I think dressing in the outdoors is hard. And dressing in the outdoors while remaining true to like your own sense of style is also hard. And I think I've always admired Kellen's sense of the way that she moves through the world, both in her style and just in general. And I thought, oh, there's nothing like this right now in the ski industry. Like everyone kind of dresses the same and it's nobody's fault, but how can we like explore fashion and function at the same time? And instead of narrowing, how do we widen what's okay to wear to go skiing or at the bar or to the grocery store or the coffee shop, and get people to like feel like, oh, I can kind of stretch myself in different places.
Mm-hmm. Say more about that, Hadley. I mean, I've had the chance to hear you, well, both write about this on Togs, but hear you talk about this in some of other conversations we've had. But I mean, part of this very much stems from just your own, you know, professional skier coming out of Jackson Hole and sort of getting tired of feeling like we have an extremely narrow way in mountain towns that we're kind of supposed to dress, or at least that everybody does dress. Talk a little bit more about coming up in your own experience with some of this, because I imagine some number of listeners are like, wait, we're talking about fashion here?
Well, you know, I think it's not even just fashion, but I was asked to give a talk in front of the alumni of the Jackson Hole Ski Club. And I was in my head picturing like, oh, I'll just be speaking in front of a bunch of young kids, which I wasn't thinking, because obviously alumni is like people my age, but also it was like my people that coached me when I was like 8. Uh-huh. And so I'm like, all of a sudden giving this talk and I'm like, oh my God, everyone here has like raised me. But the talk was this idea that through social media and through the ways that the world narrows us, we kind of put ourselves in a box. And in my own ski career, I've been boxed in. Like, I'm a skier and people let me like books and eat croissants. But otherwise, like, that's kind of it. And when I'm giving this speech, I was actually standing in a box and I had the box full of all this other part of my life, like my family, pots and pans for cooking. And I was also undressing myself, which sounds in front of my teachers, but taking off my ski clothes and underneath was like a more stylish outfit. And this idea that like, I am all of these things and I like being all of these things. And fashion has been a part of my life since I was a kid. Like, my mom dresses beautifully, and my dad gave me a subscription to Vogue when I was really little because he loved the writing and loved looking at the clothes and probably the women too. And I just felt like the longer I was in the ski industry, the less opportunity I had to express myself that way. And also equally in the design meetings that I have access to, it's really hard to drive home the point that for me, at least, I will speak only for me as a woman, I like to feel feminine. And I would say to the designers, I almost made you do it today, Jonathan, like, show up to this design meeting in a dress and tell me if you feel confident and secure. And that's how I feel when you dress me like a guy to go skiing. I don't feel like myself. And when I wear my like little tight ski yoga pants, I ski better. I am 100% convinced. And I think that is kind of the power of fashion, is like, look good, feel good, look good. All of that sort of, there is a connection between all of it, I think.
Just want to back up here for a quick second.
Sorry, that was a word. So,
I love that, Hadley. No, I think that's so great. The dress, that's something for everyone to remember.
It's amazing, but can we just, the least important part, of course, of what you just said, but you were going to have me show up in a dress for this podcast? Okay. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss that.
To send that across. But
well, then we definitely would not be publishing the video of this conversation.
Well,
but
mean, think about it like,
yeah,
you know, like for a woman in business, you know, when they have her on the cover and when she looks like powerful and strong, she's wearing a suit. And I'm like, well, that's just taking male characteristics and applying them. And obviously we're speaking like very about generalizations, but this idea that strength, you only look strong and powerful if you're dressed like a man.
It definitely would have made the point when you're like, think about walking in and you kind of feel uncomfortable in design meetings. Yes, I think you have effectively made your point. If I had to walk into a business meeting wearing a dress, I probably would not. Maybe like the fifth time I did it, I'd be like, this is pretty sweet. But initially, you're right. I would probably not feel like I was in my element. Okay. Kellen, you're familiar with Hadley's story. You just heard her talk a little bit about her, you know, a bit of her background and why this became, why, frankly, let's just say fashion went from being something. What do we talk about in mountain towns, right? It's like, it's cool if you have duct tape on your jacket. It's cool to like not care about fashion, right? Fashion is lame. It's superficial. That's what, you know, the people that aren't the hardcore skiers care about. I think Hadley just gave a beautiful description of why that is very short-sighted. Kellen, talk a little bit about your own experience and how you kind of came to care about these things.
Yeah. Well, I think I kind of have a similar story in that my mom has always been very proud to be multifaceted, and she is an incredible endurance athlete, but she's also very fashionable and can dress up. And my dad's the same way. It's like, you don't need to be boxed in. And I love Hadley's literal box that she put herself in. I mean, that is phenomenal. But yeah, and I think, I mean, for people who, if fashion doesn't matter to you, then that is totally fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's not the point of TOGS, is to tell people that fashion matters and what you look like matters. Because if it doesn't matter to you, then that's totally fine. I think it's more of an outlet for people who do have these interests and don't want to just be boxed into being a skier or a climber or whatever it may be. And it's just giving them an outlet to celebrate that and permission to just express yourself, express your individuality in whatever medium that may be. It doesn't have to be fashion. It can be in any way. And it's just kind of like a little community that's growing, that is supportive of people just expressing individuality in whatever way. And it's, we kind of often give little tips of how to do that, because I think being comfortable in your environment can be really difficult. And especially in mountain communities, that it can be a very judgmental space. There's someone with, you know, wacky old ski helmet, and there's people looking at them, and that's, you know, you're getting judged, and shouldn't be that way. And we shouldn't judge people for what they're wearing. And it's kind of almost like the opposite of what people might think when you're like, oh, I'm reading a fashion blog, or I'm listening to girls talk about fashion. Like, it's kind of the opposite. It's like giving permission to do whatever you want. And here are some tools that might help you feel more comfortable. And here's what we do, and make it your own. And yeah, have more confidence to move through the world as yourself.
I love that. And I want to hear you two just say a bit more about this. Like, you know, look, we represent three, in many ways, wonderful, four wonderful ski communities: Crested Butte, Telluride, Jackson Hole, and Chamonix. I mean, these are world-class places, right? People love to come in here, you know, they like to move there, they like to live there. But the judgmental part of it, and let's keep it focused on literal attire, right? So again, I think that, and push back on this if you disagree with this generalization, but, you know, I do think there, as I've been thinking about our conversation here, it's like, yeah, man, we only care about getting outside and getting after it. So we don't have time to, and we don't have those fancy, you know, highfalutin, you know, fashion shops or clothing stores anywhere near us, right? So we don't worry about that. And we just wear our flannel shirts and our Carhartts, you know, hopefully they have holes in them. But real quickly, that moves into a uniform. And Hadley, to use your phrase, you're like, there is a narrowing. You're talking about wanting a widening here. And I want to stop, but talk a little bit about that for people who are like, really? Like, what are you all talking about that these towns are so judgmental?
I mean, they are. And I think that's like a natural, like small communities tend to, I'm sure there's some sort of psychiatry behind this way that you stay like more insular and maybe it's protective and who knows, it'd actually be really interesting to dive into the dynamics of why the smaller the town, the more judgmental it feels often, or the smaller the community. But I always think like, if we talk so much about getting more people into the mountains and how that would be better for the world and more people would care about the environment, you gotta want them to let them feel comfortable to come as they are. And so I think if you're coming as you are and you're just like wearing what you like to wear, you're from New York City and you want to wear how you dress in New York and show up in Jackson and be accepted. Like, I think if we keep this uniform too strict, then that already makes these sort of divides. And I'm not really interested in the division. I think like there's so much to life and there's so much to art and expression and emotion and like, give it all to me.
Mm-hmm. It's so much more interesting to have a community with multifaceted people and people have all sorts of interests, even though you share a common interest. Like I want to hear about, yeah, I know you love skiing. I know you love climbing. I know you love rafting, but what else? Like what, there's so much that makes us individuals and that stuff is so much more interesting. And I actually kind of wrote a little bit about that in the last letter about zebras, about how zebras have stripes because if one, you know, if you, as a group, they stay more, they stay safer if they all look like each other. And if one branches out, that one's getting picked off. And that's kind of like these tiny mountain towns. You got to keep in your mountain uniform because, you know, it's tough in a small community. You don't want to be singled out. You can't just move on to a new group of people. Like you kind of got to protect yourself. And yeah, hopefully this helps people branch out even in little ways like fashion.
That article is really good. And yeah, the kind of, I think the line is said a few times, like we are not zebras.
We're not zebras.
Like let us, God bless zebras, but like, let us aspire to be more than zebras in at least this instance mm-hmm. of camouflaging ourselves, mm-hmm. yeah, to hide in and reducing that individuality.
Mm-hmm.
Hadley, I mean, when did you start really refining your own views on this? Because frankly, I think I am probably, we talked about this the other day, Hadley, that I started thinking of these things specifically with respect to dressing and fashion and clothing. I'm pretty new to that. I'd say, I think I told you it was probably in the last 3 to 4 years when I started feeling that oppressiveness of like, oh, I think I literally own about 25 flannels. You know, and like, what does that speak to, right? Was this something when you were a student, you were reading things, you know, kind of reading philosophies of fashion or clothing, or is this just coming from your own experience having grown up in mountain towns?
I think the interest in, I would almost call it just the interest in beauty and expression. And I'm not saying like superficial beauty, but just like, you know, art is beautiful, books are beautiful, that there's like this magicness, I think, to all of that. And, you know, the way that someone who writes songs or is in a band like pulls that out of like the ether and creates this thing that we can listen to, I'm like, that is beautiful and fascinating in the way that it moves us. And I think I've always had my whole life probably because of my parents, been drawn to finding as much as I can. And I think it's so innately human. I think art, and I would put fashion into like the art bucket, adds a richness to life. And I love the fact that it is irrelevant. Like, it's not a commodity. Well, whew, it is a commodity, but I mean, how you dress, it's so personal. It evokes emotions, and maybe it has no other point than that, like to celebrate how unique life is. Otherwise, like, you know, they talk about the quilt, for instance, in its utilitarian form, a quilt just needs to keep you warm. But why did humans start creating designs on them? You know? And I'm sure if you took out like the style part of outerwear for skiing, for instance, it could just be like dead stock fabric, gray, simple cuts. But there's a reason we don't do that. And I think because we like to express ourselves for no other reason than to just express ourselves. And so I've always felt that. And I think, you know, there's a really good Ezra Klein. I feel like, Kellen, we might've talked about this. He just did an Ezra Klein podcast on style and, taste, and how algorithms have like flattened society's taste. You know how like you can go and get into the same kind of coffee shop pretty much anywhere in the world. And like, yes, those coffee shops are really nice. You're probably always going to get a good cappuccino and a good croissant, and they're all going to look the same, like sort of the same tile and the same cups. But we've limited ourselves. That's like another narrowing and another flattening. And I think the combination of social media is probably where the inner me revolted and is like, no, like I want to keep searching for that beauty.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think that they're isolated communities, skiers and people who care about fashion and style, because it's just the same thing in the ski community, in the ski world. You look at people who have great style skiing and you're like, oh my gosh, I'd love to try this trick that way. It's the same thing. It's like, it's how you express yourself, just different mediums. It's like how it's the spice of life. You could all just ski the same run the same way, but it's how you go about it and the line you pick. It's the same thing.
Hmm. Well, and furthermore, given that what we're often talking about on Blister, right, is like we go into, you know, real detail on what this jacket, the features of this jacket, or how this, you know, water-resistant membrane works and all of that, or we're doing that with skis or snowboards or whatever, but we always talk about, and when we're talking with brands, whether that is a Patagonia, whether that is a North Face, whether that is, you know, a K2 or a Vocal, they sometimes will, the joke is like, man, we've worked really hard, designers have worked really hard on this product, but people liked that color.
Yeah.
People liked that color, or people liked that top sheet. And if that is in evidence, back on the whole, right, I'm putting up the like, but wait, let's talk about fashion is lame. It's superficial. It doesn't matter. It's proof you're not hardcore. You all have just come up with a number of great examples where, right, like we admire beautiful skiers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a style there.
Yep.
But sometimes it's like, I do it too, by the way. It's like, I'm so in love with that top sheet, I want to ski those more. Or I love that kit,
mm-hmm.
right? Because of the fit or the look of it. So we're all doing this. And I hope if anything, I guess, I feel like there's probably more than a dozen people that need to hear this. But it's like, just remember, you're probably doing this same thing yourself. Before you want to be like, the whole premise of, say, togs, or let's talk about fashion and function, I sort of reject the premise. No, you don't.
Uh-huh. Yep.
No, you don't. Let's keep it real, right?
And that's the whole, I mean, that's part of why togs exist, is to give people permission to just say they like it and say they care about style. Everyone cares about style in one way or another. Yeah.
Yeah. Why the name?
Well, we were going back and forth on a bunch of different names, but togs, my mom always said, you know, oh, grab your swimming togs or your ski togs, and oh, your ski togs in the car. And it's just the term for clothes. I think it's like, I think it's still more used in the UK, I think, but it's also kind of just an old timey term.
Were you familiar with it? I was not. I never heard the phrase togs until your project here. But Hadley, are you better educated than me?
No, but I loved good. It.
It's kind of like a cool, like, you know, the word kit is used a lot. And that was a term we were talking about, or a name we were talking about. And it's kind of just like an iteration of that.
And it just like hits so much what we're saying. Like, you could call it a kit, but you could also call it togs. Like, we just this widening. We're like always widening. Oh,
widening. Yeah. Togs. So I got to be like, that's a sick tog. I don't even know how to singular. Like, sick tog, Hadley. Is it?
Well, that's
always,
one.
Is it
sick
singular?
Tog. Yeah. Or sick togs.
Sick tog. All right.
Or you're okay, all, you're togged up.
That's a good
togged
one.
Togged up.
I really would love if that went mainstream.
Okay. That's a third mission of this third mission of this podcast, to get togged up.
Yep. Send in your videos of calling out your friend's togs. Are you togged up? Yeah, I'd love that.
That's pretty great. Wait, when did you two first meet? When and how?
We've never fully met.
Yeah.
Oh,
I've known about Hadley for a long time and have looked up to Hadley so much in the ski world. And as all skiers, especially female skiers have, like, she's just really just a wonderful person to look up to in so many different ways. Her writing is beautiful. Her skiing is beautiful. And she's just, I was very, very honored when she reached out to me. I got an email from Hadley and was like, Hadley Hamill just emailed me. Because, I mean, who doesn't do that?
That's pretty good, Kellen.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I know. Counting my lucky stars, because it's been already so fun, and it's just been a few months of this project. So, yeah, very lucky.
And Hadley, I mean, you kind of already spoke to this, but this, so you just were seeing some stuff about Kellen on social media. You're like,
yeah,
I like this chick's togs. Yeah. I'm trying to.
Kellen is always togged up. No, I feel like Kellen, like, I'm sure so many people have looked at her Instagram and when I was like, oh, I want to do this, I feel like she was always the poster of, like, she was already doing it. She was already expressing it. And I love that.
That's really kind. Yeah, it was interesting not to talk about myself necessarily, but this was a conscious decision I made a few years ago, because I've always really cared about style and clothes, and I've always loved following fashion weeks and seeing different things. But I was very afraid to post anything except for skiing on Instagram, because I was already being called just like a social media skier, or just, you know, not like a real skier, or all these, you know, to my face, many people have said, and to not even like, don't even, that people weren't even realizing that they were being so hurtful in some of those things that they were saying, because it's kind of just like, oh, a female skier, like I saw on Instagram, like, you can't be getting paid to ski or being sponsored at all. And I was very afraid to post anything except for skiing, which is so silly because it's such a small little window into someone's world, but we forget that. And I was like, well, this is gonna, in some ways, you know, I'm gonna feel the repercussions of this if I post anything except for skiing. But I mean, man, that's like, I could write so much about that, because I think a lot of people feel afraid to show other parts of themselves and other interests for fear that it would take away from other ones that they want to project out there. And it doesn't. It just makes people more interesting. And I am more interested in skiers who, you know, show other parts of their life, and maybe they love art, and maybe they love even filming or like ski adjacent things. But I don't know. No one just likes skiing. Yeah.
Really well said. And yet another like literal personal example of the judgment that is, frankly, I mean, I don't know if it's more pervasive than in other walks of society, but I think what we're making clear in this conversation is that it's at least as pervasive as anywhere else.
Yeah. Yep, definitely. Yeah, something we can all check ourselves on and all, you know, remember that people are multifaceted and come from all over and have all different paths and all different roles in the ski world. And it's actually a friend of mine a few years ago asked me what mantras I tell myself when I'm skiing. And I was like, I don't have any. Like, and then after that, I was like, I should tell myself stuff. And, you know, one of those things was that there's room for all of us. And I'm not trying to prove anything to anyone. And those were kind of some things I told myself. And I think that's, you can say that in any aspect of life.
I mean, I want to like cry or punch the people that are mean.
There's not that many. They're gone.
Yeah. And I relate the same, like, in the vice versa, it was like, oh, if I'm posting anything but skiing, people will think I'm not a serious skier. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not always a serious skier.
Yeah. Like,
I could very happily spend an entire day reading and not talking to any human, mm-hmm. and be wearing something like very soft and cozy. And that's so much a part mm-hmm. of me.
One of the things I guess I think about in terms of what we've done at Blister over the last 13 years, my background, like I'm sitting here in Chicago, right? This is where I am from. And I did not grow up in a mountain town. I came to this stuff later in life. And it's kind of, I walked into a very weird fishbowl, you know, and fell in love with the mountains and the people and my best friends of the last 20 some years, most of them have come from this world. And I'm like forever grateful for it. But I think coming in from that outside perspective, when we started Blister and we've certainly started podcasts and the rest, I never cared like, well, who's the best skier in the world? I want him or her on the podcast by virtue of the fact that he or she is ranked number one or number three, right? Like, we never looked at it that way. It was always like, I think the bar is so high. Props to the amazing athletes out there in so many disciplines. It's incredible. You all are incredible. Like, it's amazing. But given that, to me, I started thinking like, who are the people that are clearly also interested in other things, clearly thinking, right? And that's what we kind of tried to do with our open mic series. And I think those, for me, those are the people I want to talk to. I don't know. I think opening up that world, I think that just makes for the more interesting, it's a more interesting way to talk about and approach these sports while we have this thread, while maybe skiing, you know, or mountain biking, Hadley's favorite sport. Skiing or mountain biking, those things are a thread that kind of gets us in the same room or talking or same space. But from there, let's mm-hmm. get weird, right? Like, let's get weird and branch.
I love that. The widening.
The widening. I want to let you guys get going. Hadley, I somehow have the feeling Hadley slept like 30 minutes in the last 72 hours or something. I don't even know. So let's bring it back to TOGS. You two did a beautiful job of explaining why you're doing this, what you're kind of up to, what you're exploring and examining. Tell people again where they can go. But maybe before you do that, just talk a little bit more. Like, you know, if somebody's driving right now or something, and they're like, okay, so I go to this Substack, what are y'all actually writing about? And what kind of does it look like? And maybe where is this headed? The floor is yours.
Dedicated to functional fashion in the outdoors, TOGS is a platform for mountain and city dwellers alike, providing inspiration and information on dressing for the outdoors without compromising personal style. And that's the blurb about TOGS. And you can subscribe to TOGS in a few different ways. If you already follow either of us on Instagram, I think it's in my bio. I think it's in Hadley's. You can also go to substack.com and search TOGS, and it's TOGS. And the URL is
khtogs.com www.substack.com.
There it is.
But if you like talk, if you go into substack.com, you can just search for Togs.
Yeah. And there's a lot of other wonderful people to follow on Substack. I think I've talked to a few people who didn't know about Substack before this, and there's some phenomenal people that I can recommend. And yeah, great reading out there.
Tell people a little bit more. You've talked about, for example, you mentioned the zebras. But talk a little bit more about the kind of articles that you all are putting up. I told you, I think I said this before we started recording, but I believe I have read every article on Togs. I think it's the only area in my entire life where I can say I'm completely caught up. So that's it. I've got nothing else. And so I want to thank you two for that.
Thank you. That's an honor.
But just say a bit more, because it's really good, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have the conversation. And I'm sort of envious of what y'all are up to, and mostly just want to be I want to be your biggest fan type of thing. But can you say a little bit more about what you have covered and where what you will be talking about?
Yeah, it's like we each pick a topic a week, and I think the topic is based on a. For instance, sort of a problem that you have. So it's like, what pants do you wear in the winter? Like, jeans are so cold and can be kind of uncomfortable. Like, what are some alternatives? Or Kellen's last one is so awesome, where it's like, how do I bring in a little bit of like, you know, it's like mountainify your day stuff and fancify your mountain stuff, and finding that like combination of the two. It's how to layer. It's kind of how to get dressed. Each week is sort of, if you had a question about how to get dressed in a certain way, we try to answer that. And we're super open to feedback too, of like, if people, you know, my best friend Leslie, she is always like, message me like, what shoes do I wear in the winter? Like, I love Blundstones, but so does everybody. Give me some other option. And so that's sort of where we're building out these weekly. It's usually every Monday. This week it'll be on Tuesday because I will be over the ocean. But yeah, once a week, and Kellen and I just rotate.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so we kind of get mountain guides, tips, and we've talked a lot more about you started by saying it's kind of fashion and function. But I mean, you know, Kellen, your article about, I think you said something to paraphrase you about why you will defend to the death that loafers are a wonderful footwear choice for mountain towns. But then you are pointing to sort of loafers with like really lugged, like thick lugged up versions. And so I just imagine for a whole lot of people that are maybe doing a mountain town trip and they haven't done that in maybe ever, or maybe it's been 5 or 10 or 15 years. Very few of us actually live in these places, right? So by definition, there's a ton of people out there that could use a hand, a like non-judgmental hand, just with a bit of like, hey, pro tip, you know, if you're gonna actually not slip around and fall on all the ice in, say, downtown Crested Butte, then loafers can be cool, but you might want to go this way with a super chunky lug or something. Yeah?
Yeah, totally. Yep, exactly. And yeah, that was one of Hadley's ideas with starting this, is that so many people come to a mountain town and don't really know what to wear, and it is judgmental, and no one likes to stick out and or be just like not dressed for the elements. Like, there's a lot of reasons why it's important what you put on. I mean, if you look on Pinterest or whatever for mountain town outfit inspo, or like, what do I wear to Aspen? And it's not helpful, because I mean, maybe to a niche, or, you know, some people, that's what you want to wear in the mountain towns, and that's totally fine. But for a lot of people, you want to kind of like play the role, right? Like, I always love dressing for the environment I'm in. And because, you know, going to Telluride is not the same as going to Paris or whatever, and you can have nice pieces of clothing, but like, how do you move through different environments with this? And the point of it is not to sell people clothes or tell them to go out and buy a new wardrobe, take pieces you already have, rework them, and just feel more confident when you're in that new environment, because a lot of people don't know what to wear.
Hadley, last word here.
I just keep thinking of my oldest friends that grew up in LA, and they would always come to Jackson. Our family is really tight. And in LA, they always dress so cool. And then when they'd come skiing, you'd just be like, what are you wearing? And they're like, we just don't know what to wear. And I had the same experience. I started road biking a lot last year. And I was like, what do you wear road biking? You're like hot and cold. And like, I need some guidance. And I think all those outdoor sports are the same. And so our goal is to, give guidance in all direction and create this community of people that want to express themselves. And like, I think it's really cool how much feedback I think we've both gotten, and even from you, from guys too, of like, are you going to do them for guys too? Like, how do I dress? And like, I think we have, it's cool because there's no one really doing it right now. And I feel like we have so much opportunity to grow this thing.
Definitely. There's so many different ways, because it's not, a four newsletter answer of what to wear in the mountains. You can wear anything. And there's so many offshoots, and there's a lot more to come.
I love it. It's a really cool project, and I'm really happy to have you both on to talk more about it. And so I think our final shots here, we are looking at a widening rather than a narrowing. We are celebrating individuality and beauty, and we want to create more of a culture where those things are celebrated rather than judged for standing out. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be zebras, right? No zebras. And then how did you put it? You two are helping us learn how to fancify our mountain wear. But I'm going to make you say it, because I struggle with the other word when we go the other way.
Mountainify your fancy wear.
Mountainify. Mm-hmm. Mountainify your
fancy wear.
Get togged
up in your
exactly.
Mountainified so, fancy wear.
That's it. That's right. Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. So we will include a link. We will include a link where you can go check out Togs in the show notes of this episode. And I'm a subscriber. I'm a fan, and I encourage people to go check it out. And I look forward to seeing where you take this thing. It's a really strong start. And so thanks for doing it, and thanks for sharing your stories here today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Jonathan.
We'll talk to you all later. And Hadley, I really hope you make it back to France soon.
Me too.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you both soon. Well, that's it for this edition of the Blister Podcast. I want to say thanks to Hadley and Kellen for the conversation. Thanks to Taylor Ahern for producing this episode. And thanks to you for listening. From all of us here at Blister, please take good care of yourself and everybody else. And we will talk to you again real soon.